Hello, I'm Professor Liu. I'm here with art prof teaching artists Alex Rowe and Lauren Welch. Welcome to our video. Today we are talking about 5 tips for a home art studio because I would guess that a lot of us are working from home right now. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof to keep you busy. Critiques and tutorials. All right, we've got 5 tips to start out with. We're going to start with tip number one, which is a very practical, unglamorous tip, but very important, which is to protect your surfaces. Lauren, this was your tip, so I'm going to let you introduce this.
Okay, well, the reason why I think this is so important is because I am the kind of painter that, being a very meticulous painter, I make the assumption that I'm very clean and that I will never ruin the floor, my clothing, the walls, and I am always wrong. And even though I am always wrong, I still do it over and over again. It just is something that you don't even want to play with because then otherwise you're stuck like scrubbing the walls or scrubbing the floor or paying someone a lot of money. So even if it sounds really dumb, always put like a sheet of plastic down or a canvas or even newspaper. I've used newspaper in a pinch.
Alex, do you cover your surfaces or does your media make that not so necessary?
It doesn't make it as necessary because watercolor and gouache, they're both water soluble and pencil too. So yeah, I just keep like 409 and Windex and can clean like the glass top desk and like any cheapo plastic or metal stool that I'm using. The only thing that is key is like when I lived in an apartment with carpet, I did have to like lay things down or like you learn really quickly. It's like, oh, like this doesn't come out. So yeah.
See, I always discover that I should protect things after I make a mess. Like a few years ago, I was working a lot with graphite powder and I was not paying attention. And graphite powder is a nightmare. It gets on everything, and I got it all over the bottom of my hardwood floor. And my hardwood floor got like super shiny and slippery. And like to this day, it's still like that. So it's not a good idea to think about it afterwards. It's a very simple concept, but I think it's definitely something you want to think about like first rather than way later. Lauren, is there anything in particular that you think works better as a covering? Like, is plastic better, or is it just grab whatever you have, or what?
It depends on the medium that you're using. I think plastic is the one that's like the most, for sure, like good barrier because then, like I sometimes work in fluid acrylics and those can leak through like paper or canvas or anything like that. But that being said, I think I prefer using canvas because it's super cheap. It's like really reusable. You can dry clean it if you need to. And also, I do a lot of walking around when I paint, and I often will like slip on the plastic, especially if it's on like say like a wood floor. So it's canvas is a little bit more sure. You can tape it down and your feet won't slip everywhere, and it's good.
Cool. Let's see. Denise Flinch is saying, I've been covering my floors, wooden kitchen floors. Mariana says, my pile of quote work clothes has slowly but surely become bigger than my quote regular clothes. Yeah,
Yes,
do you
that's
guys
a
have
thing.
outfits or do you wear an apron or anything like that?
I should wear an apron. It's yeah, you just kind of you don't choose your work clothes, like your work clothes get chosen for you by what you spill on, and then those are your new work pants. Yeah.
That's so true.
I actually have designated aprons. I have one for sculpture, one for printmaking, and one for painting. It's very organized and thought through in advance, for sure. Okay,
Oh,
let's move
you
on
guys are,
to tip
yeah.
number two, which is make it cozy, however you guys want to interpret that. Lauren, you told me that you like having a space that you actually want to spend time in. What do you mean by that?
As far as being a painter goes, I am the kind of person, the kind of painter that needs all of the creature comforts all laid out, or I just won't spend time in the studio. Things that are specifically really aggravating and ruin my concentration are temperature. I need the studio to be very warm. I cannot work when it's cold. And also just having a place to sit. I do some of my work standing up, but I also have a futon generally in my studio where I can just sit and look at the work and be with the work for a long period of time. I find if I don't have these things, if they're not there, I will be going in and out of the studio all the time. I will never give myself a chance to get into a groove. Same thing with being hungry, like I need snacks around, and I think that's pretty common for other
We're
artists.
going to get to the snacks in a minute because there's a whole other area for us to cover in terms of home studios
Studio
and
snacks.
staying satiated. But Alex, I was wondering for you, do you want your studio to be cozy? Because I'm actually not like that at all, but I want to hear from you first.
Oh yeah, I definitely have to like not cozy enough where I feel like no, yeah, I guess cozy would be the right word. I need to feel like comforting, safe, like a little nest. And yeah, I'd need like a full cup of coffee, glass of water, and like a little bowl of like almonds or chips or something. Because if I let myself get distracted with getting a snack, then I'll never get to work, like Lauren was saying. Yeah. So I
You have
need
to
the
start all
studio.
over.
Yeah. Like I need it to be. Oh, and it's funny, I like it colder. I like to be able to wear like a little cardigan and nestle in, and then I can just settle in the groove all day.
So, in other words, if you don't have your bowl of almonds, you have a good excuse to get up, stop working, procrastinate, and go scrounge in the kitchen for a snack.
Yeah, and then I get the last of the almonds, so then I decide to go to the store, and then when I'm at the store, I get stuff for another thing, and then it
All
spirals.
over at that point. Lauren, do you have any studio snacks that you have to have on hand?
Oh man, yeah. Almonds are really good. I also like peanuts. They just like fill you up. I love chocolates like M&Ms and things. I go for oh, and you always get me dried strawberries, which I don't usually have at home, but are my favorite of all the favorites because I can pretend to feel healthy, but they're actually just like
Oh,
candy.
you're just like eating candy, basically. Dried strawberries taste like gummy bears. That's pretty much what it is. Well,
What
see,
about you?
I'm not like you guys. I can't be comfortable in my studio because it's too nice. It makes me want to relax, and then I'm not in the right mood anymore. Just like Ripple of Aqua is saying in the live chat right now, I can't be in a nest. I'd be too distracted with comfort. Need to be on my feet, active with everything laid out in front of me, ready to go. No snack distractions. Oh, I've got
Wow.
snacks. Guys, I am like cleaning up a meal at the end of every single day. It's horrible. Like, this is probably why I never post pictures of my desk on Instagram because it's just disgusting. But I feel the same way as Ripple of Aqua that it can't be a place that I get too cozy in, I suppose.
Clara, we've got a couple comments here also about accidentally confusing your paint water for your drink. Does anybody have tips on how to differentiate those two? Because I know that is an issue.
I'm going to give that one to Alex as the resident gouache and watercolor painter. I'm guessing you have been in that situation more than us.
Yeah, because I get awful with it where I like to have two things of water, one to like pre-wash the brush and then another one that's bigger and cleaner, and then the coffee and then the water. So there's like a 50-50 chance I'll stick the brush in coffee or water. So like I've tried keeping them on different sides. Yeah, I have not found something that'll work. And I've for in all my years, I've not found a solution. Oh, except, but this ruins the fun. If you put your coffee in like a to-go tumbler, like a Nalgene or something with like a lid, that's the only surefire way. Other than that, I have no idea.
Yeah, I really agree with that, Alex. I think like the objects, the liquid containers have to be like really different looking. Like I don't do like the Nalgene thing. Like I just do like my mug of coffee, but My paint water is generally in like either one of those giant like metal tomato cans or in like an old gesso bucket. So like I'm not going to drink out of a gesso bucket.
See,
so
what's
I guess
worse?
it's just all about the containers. Is that really what it is?
Well, I thought it was cute to get like an old coffee pot for my watercolor
Oh
water.
yeah, we have a picture of that. Let me see if I can find it. I think
Yeah,
it's, hang on a sec.
so where I'm tempted to like pour that into my coffee cup,
Here it
but
is. Oh, that is
yeah.
so gross, Alex. How can you have that on your desk?
That was when it got grody.
I feel like that would
Ricardo
totally mess
is
with me.
saying,
Like, I could not have a coffee pot like that in my studio.
Ricardo is saying, drink your coffee before painting. I actually disagree with that because then I have to go to the bathroom like 30 minutes later, which is the same problem as needing to get up and get a snack.
Can you believe how easily distracted we all are? Aren't we supposed to be like professionals who can actually focus and get stuff done? It's crazy how hard it is to stay on task at home.
I think it's a myth, staying on task.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to tip number three, which is to set the mood. Lauren, how do you set the mood for your home studio?
Ooh, well, I want to put in a plug for Art Prof podcasts. Not podcasts. I want to do a podcast.
Spotify.
Spotify, Spotify. We have an Art Prof music channel on Spotify where we all post our playlists that we listen to. Oh my God. And so I will either put on something like that if I really feel like I can't have any like discussion distractions. Or sometimes I'll put on like a podcast or something on TV, but it has to be like not distracting. I can't be too invested in it.
Alex, what about you? What do you use to set the mood in the studio?
Podcasts for me are my favorite, like especially like ones where I can learn, like they're like science or history or true crime based. I love those a lot. And I think with podcasts, it has that benefit, kind of like if another one I like is like not bad TV, but, you know, not something that'll really get my attention. Because when it's episodic like that, then when it ends, it's a good like pulse check for me of like, or like, okay, like that episode of the podcast finished. So now I'll like refill the water, make another pot of coffee, then get back to it. You know, it's a good break rather than music.
Alex, you left out the part where you listen to podcasts about infectious diseases, because I
Oh,
remember
yeah.
one time you were at my house. You're like, let's listen to this podcast. I'm like, I don't want to listen to this. This is like really upsetting.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And they've really like blown up since that. Yeah, they got picked up by Exactly Right Network. Yeah, it's This Podcast Will Kill You. And they're doing a lot on coronavirus if you want to hear more about that.
Wow, we got a lot of people telling us about setting the mood. Heba Belkadi is saying, I put my math lectures on. Wow, that's a new one that I have not heard before. Mariana is binge watching Art Prof. Very cool. We are so into that. And Ripple of Aqua puts on a calming podcast or music. Later, I'm really into it. Found myself to a dance playlist you can jam out to. Haley Michelle says, I rewatch really long Let's Plays that I've seen before. And Salty Person has six different playlists for different emotions, so the music can match what you're drawing. Wow, that is like super organized. I don't know that
also,
I can invest that much effort into setting the mood.
There are also people here like Ray Mayo who are thinking about things beyond just what we listen to. Like Ray mentions incense, which I think is a great idea. I love having incense going while I'm working. Also, I think it was Jake Gonzalez is talking about lighting in the studio, which makes a huge difference for me. Gotta have that good lighting. If it's crappy lighting, then you're just focusing on squinting on the work and not, you know, actually doing what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was working with my friend Kathy Speranza because I was shooting a tutorial of her doing these charcoal drawings, and I am so jealous of her studio. Her studio has like gothic cathedral natural light from the north. It's like the most beautiful heavenly light. Anything that you set up in her studio looks gorgeous. It's like you cannot go wrong in her studio. Like, I dream about having a studio like that. Alex, what about you? Do you have any good lighting in your studio? What do you have?
Not in my current studio. In like my current studio, it's all artificial light, which is a big bummer. Like, the only spot to get good outdoor light in my apartment is if I put my desk like right in the center of the living room. That's the only spot. And yeah, like, I definitely noticed that it's less, let's say, cozy again than like my previous studio, which was right next to a north-facing window, and it was just like primo. But yeah, those little things like definitely help or hinder.
Well, you know what I listen to? This is not artistic at all. I listen to people like Nick Nimmin and Roberto Blake because they teach me how to use YouTube. This is how I spend my time. I'm always like, oh, I got to pick up some new tips about how to do YouTube. So I guess I'll listen to this while I work on that. I don't know. I feel like I have the most unromantic set the mood technique.
You like to listen to Ari Shapiro.
No, but see, that's different. No. I listen to Ari Shapiro, who, by the way, is the host of All Things Considered on NPR. I listen to him when I cook because that's a very different mindset, Lauren. It's not the same thing.
Oh, okay.
I can't think too hard when I'm actually making artwork. Like, I have to listen to something that I can sort of space out a little bit. So, I don't know. For me, it's sort of like when I'm in the studio, I want to be a little bit distracted, but not too distracted. I don't know. Does that make any sense, Lauren?
Yeah, I think it does. Some people in the chat, like Denise Flinch, are mentioning phones being distracting. And there's like some talk about whether the phone is like a good thing or a bad thing to have in the studio. I am of the mindset that is kind of a necessary evil. I oftentimes I use my phone to stream music, and I also use my phone to take pictures of my work while I'm working to, track progress or to get like a image of what the work looks like that's not like my eyes. Like, it pulls out different things in the work. So I do find it very distracting, but I also find it like I need to have it.
Mm-hmm. Alex, what about you? What do you do with your phone?
Very similar. I'm either using it for reference photos, or I'm using it, like Lauren said, to get another look at the piece or to look at it in grayscale, change music, things like that. Putting my phone in airplane mode, though, really helps. And having Bluetooth, like speakers or headphones or something like that. I'm so glad Bluetooth is like not as expensive anymore. It's like average. So you can like put your phone at least a couple yards away. So it's, yeah, that's been helpful to me.
See, I'm not like you guys at all. I am so bad about my phone use that now I actually put it in another room, preferably a room that's like way on the other side of the house. So I actually have to like take a walk to use my phone.
Oh,
because if I don't, I'm on Instagram for like 2 hours. It's terrible. Like, it's such a distraction for me. I can't have it around. So yeah, that's my solution, because otherwise I just cannot take care of things otherwise.
I've gotten a little bit better about that, but only because there are now so many messages that I'm receiving like electronically, because everything is done, you know, through the internet now. Like, I'm getting so many messages, like texts, emails, Instagram messages, like phone messages, that like I'm kind of like scared to use those apps now. So I'll just like totally bypass them and go straight to like my reference photos. But that has never been the case. This is the first time that's happened.
Let's see. Glenn in Ink says that they watch bad reality shows on it. Yeah, it's like whatever works.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Is anybody watching Tiger King?
I was tempted. I was gonna start it last night, but it was a little late. Maybe I will tonight. We'll see. All right, let's go to tip number 4, which is let your studio pick the media. Alex, you're a painter and you've worked in oil paint and all sorts of different materials that some are not so friendly for home art studio. So why do you think this is important, thinking about your home studio and the media?
Yeah, I mean, when I first discovered like oil painting in high school, like I got in like a little bit of trouble because like I oil painted when like my mom left the house to go to the gym, and then she came back home and it smelled like a gas leak in there. So yeah, like, I mean, nothing blew up, but yeah, that's the danger, is that you get all those fumes and chemicals in there. You have to kind of plan for that stuff.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. Yeah, Kat Huang, who is another teaching artist here at Art Prof, she told me when she was in high school, she didn't know any better about the fumes that solvents make for oil painting. And she said she was like painting in her bedroom with the windows closed using Gamsol, which is basically mineral spirits. And so the thing about a home studio that I think is tricky for some people is it does pretty dramatically limit what you can do in terms of media sometimes. Like Lauren, you were actually saying some of your peers are having trouble because now they're not in school anymore. They don't have these huge sprawling studio spaces and they've really had to downsize, right?
Yeah, it's such a huge, so at my school, we have what I think for New York is pretty enormous studios. And I mean, comparatively, like apartments also in New York are very, very tiny. So the change in the kind of things, even like the size of things that you can do is like so drastic that a lot of students are having a kind of like freeze moment where they feel like they just can't do anything because they have to change their practice so drastically.
I mean, how would you suggest people handle that, Lauren? Because I know it's frustrating when you want to do something, but there's just no option because there's no space. Like, in theory, I would love to have a gigantic professional printmaking press at my disposal, but I just don't. And so there's a lot of stuff I cannot do. I cannot do line etching at home. I can't do lithography or anything like that. So what's the solution when that happens, Lauren?
Well, yeah, it depends on what kind of medium you do work in. I know for me, like right now I'm having the size issue. I want to be able to make larger paintings, but I can't. So I'm doing mostly smaller works, a lot of things with like crayons instead of paints. Or I'm also doing a lot of planning, like making drawings and thumbnails for future large works that I know they'll have the opportunity to, like, once I'll get like my studio back. I know that I spend like a lot of my time goes into that planning, like, anyways, so I might as well just like jump into my studio and like start on a bunch of paintings rather than, like, you know, basically wasting that time.
I mean, Alex, I sort of envy the fact that you work in gouache because it's like, wow, that's such a easy, friendly paint material to work with. And it's like nobody paints 5 foot tall gouache paintings. So it's sort of a really ideal situation that you paint in gouache so much, I suppose.
I was going to say, like, I was hearing you guys talk about it, I was like, yeah, that sounds like a bummer. But like, no, I did personally change from, like, I did do, like, in hindsight, stupidly large gouache paintings that were like 24 by 36 at some points, and now they're much more like traditionally and manageable. I did have the opposite problem where if anyone like wanted me to do a larger commission piece, like what happened like about 2 years ago, I was like, great, I have to pretty much brush up on a whole new medium that I haven't used in a while, you know. But yeah, you definitely need to base it off of what your studio can accommodate.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer when you can't use the materials that you want to use. I get that. But I also think that sometimes you'll surprise yourself and you end up doing some really cool things with some pretty humble materials that can be really great. I mean, I remember many years ago when I was pregnant, I couldn't really do a lot of the hazardous stuff that I was doing. And I started really, actually, basically what happened is I stopped painting and I just drew with graphite and crayon, and then I sort of never went back, right? And it's like, yeah, I could get mad at myself about that, but that's just the way things ended up. And I sort of think that's okay when life gives you these odd twists and turns that you have to deal with. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go to tip number 5, which is simulate a commute. Lauren, can you explain this one?
Well, Clara, you actually gave me that advice to simulate a commute. I think I mentioned to you I had you know, back before I started school, I was in a situation where I didn't have any kind of real routine going on. Like, my work schedule was all over the place, and I was finding it hard to sit down and focus on painting. And you told me to simulate a commute, which is where you go and do something, either take a walk or go out and get a coffee or just walk to the coffee pot and like get yourself a coffee and like read the paper. Ritualize the process of going into studio as if you were like, as the, in the same way you ritualize the process of like going to work. And that helps you get into the mindset of, you know, what you need to do. Like, you focus on what you need to do next.
Alex, do you simulate a commute, or do you have your own version of that?
Honestly, I don't. I remember you telling me that back in, like, in class, and then I've forgotten it. But I want to start doing it again, because, yeah, the only ritual that I have is pretty much, like, to make a cup of coffee, and the way that I make it, it gives me, like, 5 minutes to, like, mentally focus on what I'm going to do next, and then just sit down, take the sip. And then offer like a reward system, like of like, okay, when I work for 2 hours, then I'll be able to do X, you know?
Well, I mean, I think another twist on tip number 5 is having some semblance of a routine, because I just found, because I do work from home a lot, that if I don't have a routine, I go out of my mind. It's just too hard for me to organize. Like, I have noticed that I always do my email communication stuff first thing in the morning, because then I get it out of the way, and then I always do editing in the afternoon, and so it's like I sort of match my mindset with the time of day with the actual work that I'm doing. And so whatever your version of that routine or commute is, I think is really good to do. Like, for me, Lauren, I don't go get a cup of coffee. I go for a run in the morning, because then it gets my blood pumping. I feel a lot more awake. I take a shower. I come back. I do my work. It's just so much better in that way. Let's see. We've got a lot of comments here. Luke K. Art is saying they moved from a large open studio in New Zealand to a small apartment in Taiwan. Wow, that is a really big change. About 5 years ago, I paint in oil, had to rethink my practice. I now use walnut oil to thin my paints. Oh, wow, that's really cool. And Haley Michelle is saying, taking figure drawing, we have to do it all online. It's a weird situation. We can't draw figures. We had to draw statues. Actually, I'd like to hear from you guys, Lauren and Alex, if you guys have any solutions for that, because there's a lot of art teachers online and Facebook groups saying, oh, where's a website I can find photos for people to draw from? Like, there's that website, I think it's Croquis Cafe or something, where they just have photos you can download. Or do you guys have another solution for that? Alex, what about you?
I was thinking of one that I haven't checked it in a while because it like started to get pretty like monotonous, but it was called Pose Space. And again, like, I haven't checked it in a while, but checking on resources to see if there are like catalogs of people with photos taken of them intentionally for artists to draw them. So they mirror their poses like they're in a studio.
Yep. Looks like people are saying Croquis Cafe. I don't know how to pronounce that, but Lauren, you have, well, you don't have them now in New York, but you've had two little studio mates with you in New Hampshire, and they were your models. Can you explain this?
Yes. And actually, I think it was Tammy earlier in the chat mentioned she's got to get her space ready. She takes her cat and puts it in its space, its little bed, where she's working. And that's what I would do. Wow. Yeah, I will often draw for my cats when I don't have a model, because I think that they're great practice and they're hilarious. And I just love them so much that I want drawings of them for myself anyways. So I tend to, rather than like looking up videos of people, like, I try to get as many poses from either like my roommates, or myself. I'll put like, you know, a camera timer on and like do whatever like pose I need to work or video. And that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's funny. My daughters, they're 10 and 12. There was one day, I think I was working and they were watching a movie or something. And I picked up my daughter's sketchbook. And I said to my husband, I'm like, where did these monkey drawings come from? I'm like, they look really good. She's like, oh, well, we were watching Animal Planet. And so she was just sketching the monkeys like as we were watching Animal Planet. And I sort of feel like in some ways I would rather draw from a video of monkeys than from a photo of monkeys. Because for me, half the fun of drawing something from life is getting to watch it move and getting to see what its personality is in the movement. And so obviously you guys should do whatever works best for you. But I think that there is a lot more options out there than I think a lot of us realize. So I would definitely check that out quite a bit. Sarin Yaskana is saying, watching athletes in gymnastic videos are great for doing figure drawings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. And Ray is saying, I love my Esky dog. My family will sometimes pose reluctantly, but catch one on the phone, I can take forever. You know what else? If you have cousins or relatives who play video games, you guys will have all day to draw those figures. It's really quite impressive. All right, guys, we hope you'll take some time and explore artprof.org. Lots of cool resources on there for all of you. We hope you will subscribe to our channel and join the ArtProf family. And by the way, if you have not joined our Discord server, I highly recommend that you go down to the video description and get the invite link, because Lauren, we are having some dorky conversations in there, and I kind of think you guys might want to be a part of that, don't you think?
Oh my God, you guys should join just to see the Meme Prof channel, which is just like pictures of Clara's head over Drake's body, like, you know, that meme. I'm in love. I just love being on the Discord channel. I have so many other things to do in my life, and that is where I am.
Yeah, so join us there on Discord, and thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who make everything possible. Thank you to all of you guys in the chat giving us all your quirky little studio habits. It was great to hear from all of you guys. Stay safe, everybody. We will see you next time. Bye!